video.
For days of preparation are at hand. Days of my spirit preparing you and giving you great wisdom in your household, in your way of life. Days of preparation that I will speak to you individually about you and your household. As you obey and as you work and yield to me in obedience and serving me with gladness out of the obedience of your heart, you will store up within you a treasure that cannot be stolen, a treasure of my presence, a treasure of having a relationship and a knowing my voice that no one can steal from you. So allow this preparation time to draw you into a greater relationship with me, a greater hearing of me, a greater reading of me, and you will be stored into and poured into the grace, the favor, and everything that you need to prosper in the land. For there are moments and times coming ahead where many will look unto you to be their savior, but you can say, no, 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 God is my savior. God, I spoke to you, and I prepared you. You seek the Lord, just as the parable of the virgins. Receive and store up that fire of the Holy Ghost within you, that you will have oil left over to spare, but fill and prepare.
Praise God. You know, we tend to get a word and then we just sort of move on. You know, we don't spend enough time with it. And so God arrested me this week. I was preparing to speak this morning because Pastor Jordan's away. And I was going a whole different direction. And then this word just kept popping up. And it's like, I've got to spend some time with this. I've got to meditate on this. I've got to study this through. And you should always do that with a word from the Lord, is just see, make sure it's biblically based. Make sure that it's maybe something more is being said to you. And as you go over and over and over it again, things will pop out and things will be revealed to you. There's a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. This is the prayer that those of us in the fivefold ministry pray on a regular basis. Both Pastor Jordan and I have prayed it or referenced it over the last 25 years. And it's not just reserved just for the fivefold ministry. This prayer is for every believer. Now, the prayer that I pray, and I'll read it to you, and I'll say it to you, is geared for me and for who's involved in my circle, sort of thing. And so it starts off, there's Ephesians verse 3, 4, and verse 8, and it goes like this: Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed, and I would say Word Church, Rhema, myself, my family, my ministry friends, my pastors, my partners, and that includes all you. And my partners with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and understanding. And then in verse 17 all the way to 23, and I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave and beheaded all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And in chapter 3, in verse 14 to 21, it says, For this cause we bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen.
Understand, I pray that for you consistently. Pastor Jordan prays that for you consistently. Because it's so, that prayer is so much of where we're at today. To know, to understand, to have that power, to understand all that very thing. And so in Ephesians prayer in verses 17 and 18, we are asking for wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And when I started praying that Ephesians prayer on a regular basis, sometimes, several times a day, the lights came on, a flood of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. This prepared me for ministry, not only for my ministry's sake, but also in my personal life. So I want to look at the word that Pastor Wendy gave last week. I want to break it down. So we'll start off with what it started with. Now the word that was given starts with this. For days of preparation are at hand, days of my spirit preparing you and giving you great wisdom. So days of preparation are at hand. That means today. There's no delay. And it said, giving you great wisdom. And the reason for wisdom is that the mysteries of God, the wisdom of God, are not hidden from you, but for you. God doesn't keep secrets from his church. He gives secrets to his church so that we can share those secrets with whoever will listen. Examples of those secrets would be salvation, the new birth, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the return of Jesus, the rapture of the church, healing for all, prosperity. Anything that is contrary to what the devil does, anything that's opposite of kill, steal, and destroy, which is Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Proverbs says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. So let's look at mysteries and hidden wisdom. And we'll have to go to 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. They're coming to nothing. Amen?
Yeah.
Your enemy of your soul is coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. It's for us, for our glory, for the church's glory. Verse 8, which none of the rulers, and this is one of my most favorite verses in the Bible, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devil had a regret, this is it.
Yeah.
Amen? When it was accomplished, when Jesus died, but then when glory hit that hell down there after 3 days, he rose again. The devil was full of regret.
Yes.
He said, oh, oops. It's an oops. I made a mistake. He made first big mistake was he decided to rebel against God. The next thing was he thought he had defeated God when he killed him. Because he knew he was the Son of God. But not to be. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Isn't that what the word said last week that we just played? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of God except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God's not keeping it back from you.
Right.
You know, when I first got first got saved and got into this thing, I was so hungry, and I so much wanted to know things, you know. And I looked at it like this, you know, how am I going to know all this? And then I realized I had a helper. I had the Holy Ghost who would reveal these things to me as I searched them out, as I looked into things, as I spent time in the Word, as I spent time in prayer, as I spent time in fellowship, as I spent time in a relationship with Jesus, and the lights came on and things just kept coming and coming. Let's look at Ephesians 3 and in verse 9. And it says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now, why were the things hidden? They were hidden from the world and from the devil. Amen? You know, they're just hiding those things from them. Now, listen, verse 10, this is so good. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's us. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. See, that proves that God's not hiding it from us.
That's right.
He wants us to have it. So we can make it, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Principalities and powers are the angels and demons. Angels hearken unto the voice of his word, whether it be out of God's mouth or your mouth. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Hebrews says that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. That's the church. Satan and his demons operate in ignorance of the truth. They pretend that they're still in power when Jesus stripped them of all their power and authority. They need to be reminded by the church that Jesus is Lord, and we, the children of God, do not have to put up their lies and deceptions. They need to hear it from the church, from the body of Christ. So let me show you how this works. If man, and when I say man, I mean men and women, mankind, if man will release their God-given authority, then God will in turn release his ability. Man's authority releases God's ability. God has given us authority, but you have to exercise that authority. Let me show you the scriptural basis for that. Matthew 16, verse 19. Peter has just received revelation knowledge from the Father. And Jesus is saying this to him. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the keys is revelation knowledge that unlocks the mysteries hidden for us. Wisdom that only comes from the Holy Spirit. This is an example of man releasing our authority by binding and loosing, and then God then releases his ability. Now notice the word that was given. It said, days of my spirit preparing you and giving you great wisdom. Now Jesus says this again in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So in Matthew 18, verse 18, it says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth, so that's man's authority, will be bound in heaven. That's God's ability. And whatever you loose on earth, man's authority, will be loosed in heaven, God's ability. And then verse 19 says this, again, if I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father.
Right.
Your agreement,
yes,
is you releasing your authority.
Yes.
And then it will be done for them by my Father. God's ability is released.
Yes.
In heaven. And that's how you exercise your authority. Binding, loosing, agreeing. Amen? That's how we do it. The word goes on to say this. In your household, in your way of life, days of preparations that I'll speak to you individually, I'll speak to you in your household. God's a family man. Amen? He loves family. You know, I watched back quite a few years ago where God went through my family and every one of them got saved. You know? Because he wanted everybody. You know? He wanted the whole family. So if you've got relatives that are resisting you and you sharing the gospel, hang in there because they're coming. They're coming.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I will speak to you in your, that's what he said, I will speak to you in your household. More so than you wanting to hear the voice of God, he wants to hear your voice, to commune with you and have fellowship with you.
Yes.
Just like when God would walk and talk with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden, God restored the ability to have fellowship with him through Jesus. He wanted this so bad, he paid the ultimate price so that we could have a personal relationship with him. It is the gospel message. It's a love story that rivals all love stories. And it started with this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it wasn't just like he said, hey, yeah, go down there. No, it was more than that. There was a plan. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God knew when he sent Jesus what he had to go through, what he had to do. And he did it. For he loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a preparation going on in your life. Your everyday life. Even this message is part of a preparation that you need to receive so you're ready for what's coming next. And I don't say that to scare you. Any last days teaching that causes fear is not from God. There is no bad news for the Christian in these last days. God wants you prepared for what's coming on the earth so that you can be a voice to the lost before you get raptured off this world into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, as the world is collapsing and there's so much stress and fear and so on, we can walk with the love of God in our hearts and a smile on our face because we know the mysteries. We have the wisdom. And it went on to say, as you obey and as you work and yield to me in obedience and serve me with gladness out of the obedience of your heart, you will store up within you a treasure of my presence, a treasure of having a relationship and a knowing my voice that no one can steal from you. So will you know his voice? Let's look at John chapter 10. Verse 4 and 5, it says, he walks ahead of them and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. Verse 5, they won't follow a stranger but will run from him, for they don't recognize his voice. I love to say it this way. He walks ahead of you and you follow him, for you, recognize his voice. You won't follow a stranger, but will run from him, for you don't recognize his voice. And he walks ahead of I follow him. And I recognize his voice.
Yes.
I won't follow a stranger,
yes,
but will run from him.
Right.
For I don't recognize his voice. Glory be to God.
Yes.
John 10, verse 27. My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. never struggled with the fact that you're not recognizing God's voice, or I don't hear God's voice, or I don't hear him speak to me. He's speaking constantly.
Yes.
You need to put yourself in a position where you slow it down, because this world's got you running.
That's right.
Slow it down.
Yes.
Spend that time with him.
Yes.
Focus on the fact that God speaks to me. I know his voice. I hear his voice. I recognize his voice. And so it goes on to say, so allow this preparation time to draw you into a greater relationship with me, a greater hearing of me, a greater reading of me, and you will be stored into and poured into the grace, the favor, and everything you will need to prosper in the land. You and I were called into fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 says this, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love this in the Amplified Classic. You have that too? Yeah. God is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and therefore ever true to his promise. And he came and he can be depended on. By him you were called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, this isn't just a Sunday moment. It's a daily invitation into a deeper relationship. He's drawing you closer, calling you to a walk with him and a talk with him and a life from a place of constant communion. Don't ignore the call. Lean into it. You were designed for fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God made you a temple of his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And in 2 Corinthians 6, 16, says it again, Paul's telling the Corinthians. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The reason you are the temple of the Holy Ghost is you are a carrier of the Spirit of God to share with the world. A mobile temple that can take God anywhere. So wherever you are, there he is. Wherever you are, there he is. It's hard to comprehend. If you studied into the temples of old, the first ones that came up and so on that Israel had in the wilderness and so on, and the restrictions they had where God would dwell in the Holy of Holies, in the holy place, in that tabernacle. And then they would build one in Jerusalem, you know, and Solomon built the temple, and God would dwell in there, you know. But we have God in us. We take him with us anywhere we go. You know, you need to stay conscious of the fact that
yes.
God is always with you.
Yes.
God is always with you. The word went on to say this, for there are moments in time coming ahead where many will look into you to be their Savior. But you can say, no, God is my Savior. I spoke to you and prepared you. You know, as a pastor, I've had to deal with many that look to me like as a priest. And you know, pray to God for me. Pray to God on my behalf. You know, speak to God for me. You know, get a word from God for me. And it's like, no, it's your relationship. You know, they could see that I have a relationship with God, but couldn't seem to connect for themselves. You can't get to heaven on someone else's coattails. It needs to be a personal relationship. With many, the one thing I spent a lot of time on was teaching people to take responsibility for their own Christianity. And that's what I found when I started pastoring 20-some years ago, that you know people just didn't know where they stood, what they had, what they could do. You know, I could very well easily have got burned out in the fact that people were drawing from me, taking you know all that energy. And it's like, no, they need to know. They need to know. And the main thing they needed to know was this, the authority of the believer.
Yes.
They needed to know that they had authority and you have authority
yes.
to be able to deal with these things.
Yes.
That's
your authority releases God's ability in your life.
Yes.
And so going on to say this, so seek the Lord just like the ten, the parable of the ten virgins. Receive and store up the fire of the Holy Ghost within you so that you will have oil left over to spare, but fill and prepare. So we have to look at that parable, the ten virgins. So it starts in Matthew 25, 1. And it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the ten virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them, I'm just going to roll right through this, okay? Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, say, no, not lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. How many can agree that is our time we're living in?
Yes.
See, the virgins are attendants to the bride. Their purpose is to prepare the bride and groom for the marriage ceremony. In the parable of the ten virgins, oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is to keep the Holy Spirit activated in your life every day on a consistent basis. The five knew what was needed, a full supply. Five understood what preparation was needed. Five showed up with lamps, but with no oil. That is a lack of preparation. The five were called foolish. They proved that by having lamps with no oil to operate those lamps. It's like having a car with no gas or a water bottle with no water. A lamp without the source to create the light is dysfunctional. Now, a thought is some have interpreted that the five wise virgins are the fivefold ministry because of our job description found in Ephesians chapter 4. So I'm going to look at that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12 says, the reason why he's given these gifts is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are to help prepare the bride for the wedding day. There's a lot of parallel there. I mean, I've meditated, I've read over this, this parable over and over again, and I thought there's so much you could pull from this parable. No wonder we have all eternity to just spend time in the Word, because, you know, there's so much in it. And there's so many hidden mysteries that will be revealed as we spend eternity with the Word, with Jesus.
Yes.
And it will be revealed to us.
Yes.
There's so many wonders. I mean, God is so awesome, you know, and so vast. It's just, we need all of eternity. Pastor Wendy and I are prophetic and apostolic in our callings. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit to operate in our callings. Not just filled, but filled to overflowing so that we can share the gifts that we've been given. See, sharing should always be from the overflow. Let us say in verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. It wasn't just a lamp full of oil, there were extra vessels of oil. There was overflow. There was an abundance. You know, Pastor Jordan, and I can talk about him because he's not here. Pastor Jordan is a pastor teacher. You will not get better teaching with revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, but he requires to be continually filled receive and store up the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, you that know Pastor Jordan, out of church, he's a different man. Seriously. He's an introvert. He's very quiet. You know, you can hardly get him to talk sometimes, unless he's talking about God and the Bible and the Word. But when he gets up here, you guys know what you get. It just comes out. It's like, who is that guy? What it is, it's a guy filled with the Holy Ghost and full of fire. Full of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Because he delves into those mysteries. So it can reveal it to us. But he needs it just as everyone needs it. Even the summer series is preparation because of these Old Testament stories are examples for us to learn from. It is part of our preparation. So 1 Corinthians 10:11, I want you to see this. Now all these things happened to them as examples. Now we're talking about the Old Testament stories he's talking to us about. For example, and they were written for our admonition or exhortation upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So what you see revealed in the Old Testament stories is examples for us to learn by,
yes,
so we don't make the same mistakes, and or if God did it for them, he'll do it for you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
If God did it for them, he'll do it for you. The Word said, receive and store up that fire of the Holy Ghost within you. How is that even possible? How is this possible that you can become a storehouse of the fire of the Holy Ghost? Well, it started with redemption. Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So here, who's here has been redeemed from the enemy?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
This is one of the messages that we need to be shared to the world in bondage. Jesus set me free. He'll do the same for you. Jesus came to set the captives free. If you've been redeemed, so say so. That's how you share the gospel. There's also justification. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You know what justified means? Just as if I've never sinned. That's what it means to you. Just as if I've never sinned. That's hard. I mean, you know, we were talking the other day and said, some thoughts that came back from old past, old regrets, and I'm thinking, they're gone. You've been justified. You're not guilty. Justified. And we have righteousness. Not our righteousness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That was, oh. He just didn't put the sin on him. He made him sin. On that cross, hanging there, and he's sin. He is sin. He made him sin. All the sin that's ever happened and going to happen was on Jesus. And he took it to the grave. That's kind of hard to comprehend. But it's here in the Word. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You can have fellowship with God because you now have right standing with him because of what Jesus did for you. Access. Also, sanctification, the cleansing blood of Jesus. Jess talked about it this morning, about the communion thing. You know, sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Redeemed, justified, right standing and sanctifies, allows us to access. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. Our temple stores up the fire of the Holy Ghost. therefore. So, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, the times I've had to run to the throne room in times of need, and the need was always met. And because of God's mercy, he received me. You know, it's all about his grace. Grace is when God gives us good things that we don't deserve. Mercy is when he spares us from the bad things we deserve. Blessings is when he is generous with both. Truly, we cannot run out of things to thank him for. We should have a heart of gratitude and a heart for fellowship and a heart for relationship. You know, in my devotions, I was going through Psalms, and several weeks ago, scriptures will arrest you. And you know when that happens, that God wants to say more to you out of that scripture. He wants you to spend time with him, with that word. That's fellowship. That's relationship. And so it's Psalm 100, verse 4. And it says, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Well, how do you enter through the gates with thanksgiving? Well, you've got so much to be thankful for. We just went through what you should be thankful for. You're allowed to come through. The gates are open for you. And you come through with thanksgiving. You thank you, Father, that I can even come through these gates. And into his courts with praise. And then when you get into the court, when you get into that area where God is, you just want to praise him. And that's what heaven's doing right now. The throne room area is full of praise. Angels and seraphims and cherubims are flying around and praising and calling him holy and just, wow. If you're uncomfortable with praise down here, you may want to stay outside the gate when you get there. But you'll be drawn in. You'll be drawn in. Verse 5. Oh, no, sorry. Be thankful. And sorry, back to 4. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's fellowship. And verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. All thank God for his mercy. Thanks God for his mercy. None of us deserve this. But because of God's mercy. Let me wrap this up. You don't need to check Ancestry.com to find out where you come from, who you are, where you're able to go, and what you're able to do. You open up the Word of God and find yourself in Ephesians. That's what I have. That's who I am. Yes. That's what I can do. I'm a child of God with power and authority. Glory be to God. So the last portion was this. So seek the Lord, just like the 10, the parable of the 10 virgins. Receive and store up the fire of the Holy Ghost within you so that you'll have oil left over to spare. But fill and prepare. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your plan, your mysteries and your secrets that you reveal to your children. Thank you that you have a place for us where you are entered in with your spirit. And so, Father, right now I ask you for a fresh filling of that fire of the Holy Ghost in each one of us. Father, thank you for supplying that. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Do you have anything? Do you have anything, Dad? No. Okay, cool. I thought you and Jess were going to preach all morning this morning. I thought, hey, save me. Yeah. Set the stage, yes. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Garnet.
All right, so I was asked to do offering about an hour ago, so I didn't have as much time to prepare. But probably one of my favorite verses on offering would be Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, and I will read it out of the New King James Version. And it says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So, but I will also read it out of the Passion Translation, because it's a little broader, I guess. Glorify God with your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing from an uncontainable source of inner joy. So, excuse me. So, yeah, we don't have to give, but it's an opportunity here. And God is faithful, right? And it's not, I mean, right now we have a chance to give financially, but it's giving across the board, whether it's time, whether it's praying for somebody, whatever. So, anyways, so maybe I'll just pray. Thank you, Father, just for this opportunity that we can give for this day. Father, you say that give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down. And Father, we just believe your word and that it will come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, my wife and I will be up here in about 30 seconds for word care, so if you need anything, you want to talk or prayer, come see us. All right. Be blessed.